Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama daf Tezvav. We are holding on toward the bottom of daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We're about to go through the order of the Ksuvim. We already went through the order of the Nevi'im, so now we're going to go through the order of the Ksuvim, and then we're going to go through the authorship of all of the Sifrei Tanakh. Then the Gemara in Tezvav Amud Aleph is going to discuss the last eight Psukim of the Torah. Who wrote the last eight Psukim of the Torah? What makes the last eight Psukim of the Torah unique? And it's obviously because it says, and if Moshe Rabbeinu is dead, he can't be writing the Torah, so how exactly did we get those last eight psukim of the Torah? And then most of the daf is going to discuss Iyov. First, we're going to talk about when Iyov lived, if at all. The Gemara is going to have nine different possibilities of when Iyov lived. The Gemara is going to discuss, was Iyov even Jewish? And if that's possible, that someone who is not Jewish will have a sense of Nevuah, and how many people in history who are not Jewish became Nevi'im. And then we're going to go back to a discussion of when Iyov lived, and then at the very end of the daf, we're going to start darshaning how the background to the story of Iyov, what was going on up in Shemayim that led to Iyov's downfall into the story of Iyov. Says the Gemara about eight lines from the bottom of the page at the two dots. Sidron shel Ksuvim, the order of Ksuvim runs as follows. Rus v'sefer Tehillim, the Rashash raises the question, why don't we just call it Tehillim? Why do we call it Sefer Tehillim? And by Esther, we don't just call it Esther, we call it Megillas Esther. It seems unusual, everything else is just called by its title. So that issue is raised by the Rashash, and he writes, v'nir li mishum de Tehillim damyo b'miktsas l'sefer Torah. That Tehillim, in some sense, is similar to a Sefer Torah, in that it's divided into five different svarim, and v'chein psukav krov in the psukei Torah, and the psukim are similar to the number of psukim in Tehillim are similar to the number of psukim in the Torah. He writes ayin kiddush and daf lamed, where the Gemara tells us how many psukim are in the Torah and how many psukim are in Tehillim. And what about Esther? The Esther mishum the tzarich lekos v'al gvil o'al klaf l'chein kara megillah. Since there are certain halachos that don't apply to other sifrei Tanakh about the ksivas Esther, writing Megillas Esther, that's why it's called Megillah, because there are many halachos about writing Esther that don't apply to other Sifrei Tanakh. Maybe we'll discuss that a little bit later, why that happens to be the case. So again, the order of Ksuvim is Rus, Sefer Tehillim, V'Iyov, V'Mishlei, Kohelet, Shir Shirim, V'Kinos, Kinos Ezecha, Daniel, Megillas Esther, Ezra, V'Divrei Yamim. If you hold that Iyov lived in the days of Moshe, why isn't Iyov first? So if you hold that he was living in the days of Moshe, so says Mara, we'd rather not start out with something so negative. So we'd rather start out with something a little more cheerful, and therefore we don't start off with Iyov because it's such a depressing sefer. Asks Tosos, Vim Tomer v'nichtve miyad acharus. Okay, but there's no reason to put it all the way late. We should have at least had it after Rus, right? Right away after Rus. Romarim mishum she'achris shel Rus hayachris sheyatzim mena David shirivu laKadosh Baruch Hu b'shiros shvachos lekachas v'acher kach miyad osun shiros v'achris shela. That since the message of Rus is that Rus was able to be the matriarch of the family that brought David HaMelech into the world, who sang Shiros V'Sishpachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we want to give a sampling of those Shiros V'Sishpachos as a proper follow-up to Rus, rather than go into Iyov as a follow-up to Rus. Asks Tosfos in Tomer L'mad Yom Re'ol Golahaya Lichzvei Iyov L'Besof. If you know that Iyov lived in the days of the second Beis Hamikdash, he was Me'ol Golah, that he came back, so he was way later than everybody else. So let Iyov be written at the end. V'amarid Mishumachi Kasu B'Hadetilu M'Mishlei L'Fishu Minyan Echad K'suvin Me'ein Shiro Mikros Kitzarim V'Nigun Echad D'Biyameim Hayanigun K'Darim V'Yikru B'Sefer Torah Salakim Mufurash V'Shum Seichel Mai V'Shum Seichel P'Suke Taimi. That it has a similar tune, it has a similar style and similar substance to Tehillim and Mishlei, and therefore gets put together with Tehillim and Mishlei. So that's why Iyov is where it is, even though historically one would have thought that maybe it would come later. Says the Gemara further, Rus nami Peranus, Rus also involves Peranus, and Gemara Peranus to Islei Achris. Rus may be Piranus, but it's Piranus that has a positive ending. Dam Rav Yochan, Lama Nikra Shema Rus, because Rav Yochan commented, why is she called Rus? She Yatsi Mena David, Shervu Lakarish Baruch B'shiros L'Shishpachos, because David descended from her, and he's the one that serenaded HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Shiros L'Shishpachos. So that was the happy ending of Megillas Rus. A little bit of an odd question. What does it mean? Lama Nikra Shema Rus. We don't ask that typically about biblical characters. Why was this person called this? And that's where parents like the name Ruth. So they named her Ruth. Well, what is it? Why was she called Rus? So the Marsha says that since there are Shemos in the Torah where the names are explained, what the circumstances of the birth were, what was going on, why they received that name, and this one isn't. So we're asking, why was she called Rus? But then the Marsha says, you know, we don't generally find that by Goyim, that we would ask such a question, because the shame of a guy is whatever the guy decides to name the child. The Ben Yoyada suggests in Maseches Brachos of Zayin Beis that the name Rus is a very special name, because it has the osios Tav, Resh, and Vav from the word Torah. So since that's Meramis on the mitzvos that Yisrael, and it's Meramis on the mitzvos that Yisrael has more than Bnei Noach, because we have Taryag mitzvos, Bnei Noach have 7 mitzvos, so Tav, Resh, Vav is 606, the extra mitzvos that Jews have over Bnei Noach. So we're asking, what did Rus do that she was Zocha to have such a beautiful name when she was still a Goya? So that's what Gemara says, that it was Ktimula Mina Shamayim, that it was Mina Shamayim that she had this name, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what ultimately was going to come of her. In the Anaf Yosef and Maseches Brachos and the Aderes Eliyahu and Maseches Brachos, they explain that Rabbi Yochanan's question was that the name Rus doesn't mean anything, meaning it doesn't have any meaning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that put that name in their minds. So because of the gematria of 606, like we just explained. So if that's the case, why wasn't she Taru? Meaning, instead of Rus. Meaning, what was it? Why does it have to be in this order, the Resh, the Vav, and the Tav? So the Gemara says, because it relates to the Shiros, the Sishbachos, that David HaMelech ultimately sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now says Gemara, okay, now that we know the Sifrei Tanakh, Umiksavan, who wrote the Sifrei Tanakh? Well, Moshe Kasav Sifro, Uparshas Bilam, the Eov. Moshe wrote his Sefer and the section about Bilam and Eov. So all of the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, all raise the question, what's the Chiddush that Moshe wrote the section about Bilam? Moshe wrote all of the Torah. What's special about Bilam? So Rashi says the Chiddush is that even though the Nevuos and the Mashalim of Bilam are not Mitzorchei Moshe V'Tarasa V'Seder Masav, it has nothing to do with Moshe. When you read Parshas Balak, the Jewish people don't even appear in Parshas Balak. So it's a Chiddush that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that. So Shlach Kodesh wonders about that. There are a lot of things in the Torah that are not Mitzorchei Moshe. Kayin killing Hevel. What does that have to do with Moshe? And yet it's in the Torah. The Timna Haisa Pilegesh. That's the same as reading Shema Yisrael. It's a part of the Torah, even though it has nothing to do with Moshe. Rabbeinu Gershom suggests that the Chiddush of the Gemara is that even though Bilam himself was a Navi, so you would have thought he'd be able to write his own section, so it tells us no, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. Also difficult, because Moshe was a Navi on a different Madrega. Moshe was not the same as Bilam. The Ritva suggests that the Gemara doesn't mean Parshas Bilam, Parshas Balak, like we have it in the Torah. What the Gemara means is that there was some other book that they knew about, that the Chachmei Gemara were aware of, that involved, that contained the Nevuos and the wisdoms of Bilam, and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that book, not what it says in the Torah. Of course the Torah, anything that says in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. So Yoshua Kasav Sifro Shmona Pesukim Shabbatorah, Yoshua wrote his book and the last 8 Pesukim of the Torah. Shmuel Kasav Sifro Shoftim Rus. Shmuel wrote his book and Shoftim and Rus. David Kasav Sefer Tilim Alidei Asar Zekenim. And David wrote Sefer Tilim with the help of 10 Zekenim, meaning inspired by 10 Zekenim. Who are the 10 Zekenim? Alidei Adam Rishon, Alidei Malki Tzedek, Alidei Avram, Alidei Moshe, Alidei Heman, Alidei Dus, Alidei Asaf, Alidei Shloshes Pnei Korach. And those were the helpers for Sefer Tehillim. Yirmiyahu Kasav Sifro v'Sefer Melachim v'Kinos. Yirmiyahu wrote his own Sefer and Sefer Melachim and Echa. The Tulsus raised the question, Vad lo kasev Yeshaya, say from Melachim, Lefi Shenera, Gvloya Besof Melachim, Imnasha Ve'elach, Vafilu Sifro lo kasev. And he didn't write some of the other Sfarim you would have expected him to write, because he didn't survive long enough to do so. Chizkiah Visiato, Chizkiah and his helpers, Kasvu Yeshaya, he wrote Yeshaya, Mishle, Shirashirim Ve'koeles. So what's Visiato? Says Tosos Lefisha Chizkia Garam Lem Lasuk Betora Nikra Davar Al Shemo Avlu Kosva Shai Meis Kodem Lishaya De Menashe Ben Vito Haragli Yishaya. Historically, Chizkia could not have written Yishayo, but we call the people who did write Yishayo as the Siata de Chizkia, the helpers of Chizkia, or the Chizkia's assistants, because he's the one that inspired them to learn Torah in the first place. So that team wrote Yishayo Mishle Shir Hashirim and Koeles. Anshe Knesset Gedolah Kasvu Yecheskel U'Shneimasar Daniel Megillas Esther. Anshe Knesset Gedolah wrote Yecheskel Treyasar Daniel Megillas Esther. Why Yecheskel? Says Rashi Shenisnave Begola. Yecheskel had Nevuos in Galus. Ven Yodea Lama Kasvu Yecheskel Ba'atzmo Im Lom Ipnei Lama Lo Kasvu Yecheskel Ba'atzmo Im Lom Ipnei Shalom Nitna Nevuos Likasi B'chutz Laretz V'kasme Lach Shabo La'aretz. And Rashi says, and that's why Yecheskel couldn't write his own book, because he was in Chutz Laretz, and a Nevuah in Chutz Laretz cannot be written as part of a Sefer Tanakh. It had to be written in Eretz Yisrael. V'chein Sefer Daniel, says Rashi, Shaya Begola, V'chein Megillas Esther, Treyas, V'mitok Shayin V'osem, Ketanos, Lo Kasvim HaNeviim Atzmam, Ish Sifro, Ubo Chagai Zechari Malachi, V'ro, Sharuach HaKodesh Mistalekes, Shayuhem Neviim Achronim, V'amdu V'kasvim V'osem, V'tzirfu Nevuahs Ketanos Imam, V'asam Sefer Gadol, Shliyavdu Machmas Katnam. That the last of the Nevi'im came along, and they realized that Nevuah was ebbing away, and therefore when they wrote their own books, they also included other Nevuos that they had traditions of to include as well. So that was the idea of why it is that Yecheskel couldn't write his own book, and why it is that many of these other Sfarim were not written by their original protagonists. Now if you look in Tosos, Pirusha Kuntres, Yecheskel lo kasav sifro lefi shayu b'chutz laretz v'kasha de'yirmiyo nami b'chutz laretz ha'yishalach l'mitzrayim v'nistavi sham kam nevuos v'lo metzinu shechazu yosel eretz Yisrael. He says, I find that hard to accept, that it was because Yecheskel was in chutz laretz that he couldn't write a sefer. Yirmiyo was also in chutz laretz, and yet he managed to write his sefer. In the Gilui Nashas says, take a look at the Nodav Yehuda Madura Tinyana, who deals with how to defend Rashi from that challenge of Tosfos. Anyway, says Gemara, Ezra Kasav Sifro V'Yachas Shel Divrei Yamim Ad Lo. Ezra wrote his sefer and the Yichus of Divrei Yamim until his own point, until he was Miyachis himself. And then once he was Miyachis himself, then he went back to Eretz Yisrael. The Rashash raises the question that according to Rashi, that's impossible. How could he have written the Divrei Yamim until his own Yichus while he was in Bavel? You're not allowed to be Misnavi in Chutz Laretz. He couldn't have been, not that he can't be Misnavi, but he can't write a Sefer Tanakh in Chutz Laretz. So that's Taka a problem. Now, it happens to be by Megillas Esther. Rashi said Megillas Esther was written by the Anshe Knesset HaGdola, not by Mordechai Nester, also because it was a Nes that happened in Gullus, and you can't write something that was a Nes that happened in Gullus. In the Brisker Rashi, on the Rambam, he raises the question in Hilchus Megillah that in many places it's muchach that Mordechai and Esther wrote the Megillah 1 year after the story happened while they were still in Galus. It seems that way from Seder Olam. The Gemara Megillah Daf Yutes learns it from it says Vatichtov Esther Amalka or Mordechai Yehudi that you have to write on a Sefer Ubidio. We learn from that pasuk, so you see that they were the ones that authored the book. So how could Rashi say over here that's not true, that it could not have been written in Galus, and that's why our Gemara says that it was the Anshe Knesset Gedolah that had to write it, if we see clearly that Mordechai and Esther wrote it. So the Brisker Rav suggests that there's Tzvei Dinim in Megillas Esther. There's a Din of Megillah being one of the Sifrei Tanakh, one of the Ksuvim, and then there's the Din of Kriyas HaMegillah. There are Dinim of Megillah that are required in order to be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. And he shows in great detail how there are halachos about Megillas Esther that don't apply to any of the other Sifrei Tanakh. We referred to one of them before in terms of the type of klaf it has to be written on. That's not about being part of Tanakh. That's about the din of Mikra Megillah. So that's what the Brisker Rav suggests, that maybe we can understand the klal that lo nitna nevul, the kasi b'chutz laretz, is a klal about writing Kisvei HaKodesh. But Mordechai and Esther wrote it begolus 1 year later, just to be yotzi the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, not to yet include it necessarily in Kisvei HaKodesh. That only came later on. Misayei le'le Rav, Dam Rav Yidam Rav lo'ola Ezra m'bavel achiyiches atzmo va'ola. And that's a raya to Rav, because Rav says, going back to what we were just saying, that Ezra wrote his own sefer, that Ezra didn't come back from Bavel until he was able to be miyachis himself. Uman aske, and who finished up his sefer, the sefer Divrei Yom? Nechemiah ben Chachalia. Amar Mar, Yeshua kasef sefer shmona psukim shabatari. Yeshua wrote his own sefer and the final psukim in the Torah. Tanya command yamar shmona psukim shabatari. Yeshua kaslan. We have a brisa that says, that supports this idea that Yeshua wrote the last eight psukim in the Torah. The Tanya v'yamar shem Moshe eved Hashem. Efshar Moshe to Girsos, Mace, or Chai, the Kasav Yamasham Moshe, either way it's difficult. If Moshe was dead, it's difficult that he was writing, and if he was alive, it's difficult that the content that he was writing was that he was dead, so it's not possible. Ella Adkan Kasav Moshe, Mikan Ve'el Kasav Yeshua, Div Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote up until the last day Pesukim, and then Yeshua took over. And some say that it's Rabbi Nechemiah who holds this shita that Yeshua wrote the last day Pesukim. We have these two deos, whether it's Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemiah, l'chora artali, and what it says in Makos Daf Yeralef, because there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemiah, when Pasuk and Sefer Yeshua, Perach of Dalit, says, v'yichtov Yeshua sadvar me'ile b'sefer Torah Selukim, that Yeshua wrote something in the Sefer Torah Selukim. Kim. So one shita is that it's referring to the Epsukim, last Epsukim in the Torah, and the other one is that it's referring to the Ari Miklat that it says in actually in Sefer Yoshua in Perachaf, that identifying the Ari Miklat, but it doesn't say who said what. What does that depend on? Who said which shita? Exactly, our issue in our Gemara. Is it possible that Yeshua wrote the last Epsukim in the Torah? Same two people, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Amar Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says to them, Efshar Sefer Torah, is it possible that a Sefer Torah is missing a single letter and you're still going to call it Lakoach Sefer Torah Zeh? And this is used as a raya for the Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Tefillin, where the Rambam writes that if you're missing an Os Achas from a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzah, it's possible. So you see in this Gemara, we can't call it a Sefer Torah if it's missing even Os Achas. Who argues? Tosus Megillah Daf Tes. Tosus Megillah Daf Tes holds that a Sefer Torah that's missing an Os Achas is not possible. The Marik just points out in Simas Samach Tes that the Rambam himself in the Tshuva writes that someone who says a bracha and a kriya of Sefer Torah that's chaser Os, it's not a bracha levatala, which l'chor is against what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillin. But the Marik quotes from the Rashba that the Rambam wrote that Tshuva when he was very young, and when he was older, when he wrote the Mishnah Torah, he changed his mind. What's the raya that Tosus has that a Sefer Torah can be chaser Os Achas? Well, that's a different Gemara. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach, says that a Sefer Torah that's chaser bo Yuria Achas in Korimbo, if it's missing an entire section, you're not allowed to read from it. Mashma, that if it has all the sections, it's just missing a single letter, that you would be allowed to read from it. So this is a major machlokas rishonim. So anyway, so what do we do about these last eight psukim? Ela ad kana Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer Umoshe Kosev. Mikan ve'elach Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer Umoshe Kosev Edema. It's a question whether we're Goris Moshe Omer V'Kosev. That up until that point, a Kodesh Baruch Hu would say all the words of the Torah. Moshe would, if you have the gear, repeat it and then write it, and these last eight psukim, Hashem would say it, and Moshe would just write bedema rather than being Omer v'kosev. Some of the Rishonim say if you have that girsa of Omer, we learn halacha l'maisa from that, that we should be machmir that a sofer when he writes Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah should actually say out each and every word. Beis Yosef quotes this in Simen Lamed Beis, but the Beis Yosef writes that that's only a din l'chadchila. If b'diavad he doesn't do it, it's still going to be kosher. So what was different about the last eight psukim? So first Moshe Rabbeinu didn't repeat it, and he would just write but he also wrote Bidema. What does Bidema mean? Several shitos in the Rishonim, what Bidema means. The Ad Ramah and the Ritva suggest that he didn't write these psukim in ink, he wrote them in tears. And the reason he wrote them in tears is either because to distinguish them from the rest of the Torah, so that a yachid could be koreosam, or because he couldn't lie, and we're addressing the issue of how could he write Vayomer Moshe, so he didn't lie b'ksav, he didn't say it, so it wasn't a lie ba'amira, nor did he lie b'ksav, because it's not a ksav at all, it's just dema, it's dema'os that he left as an outline for someone to fill in later on. So that's one sheet in Rishonim. Rashi, Maseches Menachos, understands that when it says he wrote bedema, it means that when he was writing it, he was crying. Not that he wrote with his tears, he wrote as he was in tears, and that's why he didn't say these psukim before he wrote them, because he was too emotional as he was doing it. The Maral in Chidush HaGadol and in the Gur Aryeh on the Torah in Devarim Perek Lamed Dalet says that Moshe was writing also crying as he was writing, but since he was crying, it's no longer considered sheker, because to write Vayamasha Moshe Aved Hashem says the Maral, on a certain level, when a person is crying and when tears are coming out of a person's eyes, he's losing a certain sense of chiyus, he's losing a certain life force, and therefore it's fair to call it a misa when a person is crying. A very profound and a deep idea of the Maral, that when a person is crying, he's dying a miniature death. And that's Vayamasha Moshe Eved Hashem. Of course, the Gra, and they quote from the Baal Shem Tov as well, say that no, Dema doesn't mean tears. Dema is Lashon Dimua, that it was all confused, that he wrote the letters, but they were all jumbled up. They weren't written in the format that we have them. So whatever it is, he wrote the last eight psukim with Dema, Kibosh Nemer, Lalan, Vayamalan, Baruch, Mipiv, Yikra, Elias, Kala, Dvar, Me'elav, Anikos, Velav, Al HaSefer, Bidyo. Whose shita do we follow when we say that the last day psukim of the Torah, a yachid is allowed to read the last day psukim of the Torah? So it seems like it's against Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote these last day psukim. So why would we have a special kula that a yachid is koreosan? Says Rabbi Shimon, all this shtanu ishtanu. It could even be Rabbi Shimon, since they were written differently, they have a different halacha about the kriya of these last eight psukim. What does it mean, yachid kariyosan? So Rashi says that one person reads them all, you're not allowed to make a hefsik in the middle of these eight psukim. Other Rishonim say that only the older reads them, that there's no balkore that reads along with the older. The Rambam says no, it means that you're allowed to read them without a minion, that even if a minion leaves, you're allowed to read these psukim. However, the Chacham Tzvi writes in a tshuva that traditionally we understood, in this quote in the Mishnah Berurah as well, that Yachid Koreosan means the Miyuchad is Kore, the Miyuchad Shebetzibur, someone special reads these last eight psukim. That's what we traditionally give Chasan Torah to, someone who's deemed to be deserving of a special honor. So that's a Miyuchad gets the Chasan Torah. There's also a question how Moshe Rabbeinu could have been writing any of this if in fact he died on Shabbos. So the question that's discussed at great length in the Rishonim and the Achronim, did he in fact die on Shabbos? Anyway, let's go weiter. Yeshua Kasav Sifro. Yeshua wrote his own book. Vaksiv Ayemus Yeshua Ben Nun Eved Hashem. You know, in Yeshua's book, it also says that Yeshua died. How could he have written his own book? Daske Elazar. Elazar finished it. Vaksiv Elazar Ben Aaron Meis. That doesn't take you to the end either, because it says Elazar died as well. Daske Pinchas. Pinchas finished it off. Shmuel Kasav Sifro. Vaksiv Shmuel Meis. But doesn't it say that Shmuel died? Ooh, and that's pretty early. That's in Shmuel Aleph that we say Shmuel died. Sifro means both Shmuels. We hold there's really only one Sefer Shmuel. It's the old joke when someone went to visit Kever Shmuel and Avi. So someone asked, well, is this where Shmuel Aleph is buried or where Shmuel Beis is buried? No, there's only one Shmuel. So Shmuel wrote his book, and yet he died less than halfway through. So the Aske Garachos of Nasan and Avi. Garachos of Nasan and Avi finished it off. David Kasav Sefer Tilim Al Yedei Asar Zekenim. David wrote Sefer Tilim with Asar Zekenim. L'chshav Nami Esan Ezrachi. Why isn't Esan Ezrachi mentioned on the list? Amarav, because after all there is a mizmor for him. Amarav Esan Ezrachi Zehu Avram. That's Avram. K'sifach Esan Ezrachi. K'sifasam Mi'ayim Mizrach Tzedek. Kachash of Moshe or Kachash of Haman. What, just because he's called by two different names, it means it doesn't get two separate listings? After all, it does say Moshe and it says Haman, Vamrav, Haman's a Moshe, and that's the same person. So Ksifach Haman, Ksifach Mechal Beisi Neman, who, how do I know it's the same person? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is described as Mechal Beisi Neman, so Trey Haman Havu. There were two Hamans. There's the one that helped out in addition to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Kasav Sifro, Parshas Bilam, the Eov. Moshe wrote his own Sefer, Parshas Bilam and Eov. Ooh, so now we get into the discussion of when Eov lived. What exactly was that? Who exactly was he? Misayele Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, Dom Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, Eov Bimei Moshe Haya. Well, if Moshe wrote the book, it must be that Eov lived in the days of Moshe. Ksifach miyitei nefa v'yichsum milay, uksifasum b'me yodea efo, ve'ema b'yimei Yitzchak. Why don't we say it was in the days of Yitzchak, t'chsiv mi efo atzad sayid. You have the word efo there as well. Ve'ema b'yimei Yaakov, t'chsiv imkein efo zos hasu, ve'ema b'yimei Yosef, t'chsiv efo im roim. You have the word efo in a lot of different generations. Lo sagodai t'chsiv miyitei b'sefer v'yuchku, u'moshu dikri mechokek. The lashon of chakika, of engraving, is mentioned by Moshe. So that's how we know it's dafka in the days of Moshe. The Yafei Toar on the Medrash Rabbah raises the question. We're about to spend a lot of ink discussing when Eov lived, and the question begs itself. You know, this is the stuff for historians. Why do we care in the Gemara to figure out when Eov lived? Is there any nafkamina for us to know when Eov lived? So first of all, he says, sometimes there's no nafkamina lalacha, but like the Gemara in Yumadaf Hay says, you need to know how to touch up the psukim, and sometimes it helps to know when it was to be able to touch up all of the psukim. And he says, maybe there is a nafkamina lalacha. The Medrash says that if Eov was a Jew, we could learn from Eov that an Avel has to be korea mu'umad, that when he tears kriya, he does so standing up. As opposed to if Yehudi is from an umas ha'olam, you can't learn dinei avelus from Eov. So this discussion relates to whether he was Jewish or not, and therefore relates to halacha, whether we can derive any halachos from Eov. Rava Amar, second opinion, Eov bimei meraglim haya. Eov lived in the days of meraglim, ksivacha ish haya baratutsu Eov shmo, ksivasam hayesh ba'etz. Midami, hacha utz, hasam eitz. How can you compare those two words? One is utz, one is eitz. Hachi kamar l'moshe l'Yisrael, yeshna los adam, sheshnos v'ruchos ke'etz, u'megin al doro ke'etz. That there is this one man who lived as long as a tree and who protects his generation like a tree. Third opinion, Yosef v'mir ban k'meder av shumar rechayni, v'yosef v'kamar, Eov lo haya, v'lo nivra, elo mashal haya. Eov never existed. Tosa says, this is different than the opinion in the Medrash Rabbah that says that Eov never really suffered all the things that it describes, meaning that there was a character Eov, but he never actually went through the ordeal that's described in Sefer Eov. No, this opinion holds that Eov mamish never existed. Well, how does the pasuk then say that there was a man and his name was Eov? When Nasan Navi gives a mashal to David HaMelech about a man who has only one sheep and the rich neighbor takes that man's sheep. The whole thing was a mashal to give David Musar about what he did with Bathsheba and taking away from Uriah. It sounded like a very lovely story, and it sounded so real. But that's the way you give a mashal. You don't give a mashal without pulling at the heartstrings. You make it sound real. That's the whole point. So me haven't. Did that mashal happen? No. Mashal bi'alma. So achanami mashal bi'alma. This too is a mashal bi'alma. Im kein shmo v'shei miro lama. Yeah, but the detail, his name, the name of the city, is the detail really necessary? You know, but when Nasan Navi talks to David, he says there was a man, and the man had sheep. He didn't say what city, he didn't say. So, you know, why do we have to give this kind of detail if it's only a mashal? So that's why he rejects that opinion. Fourth opinion, Rabbi Yochman, Rabbi Lazar, Dami Tarvayu, Eov be Oligola haya. He lived in the days of Oligola, of those who came back after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Ubeis Medrasha b'Tveria haya, and his base medrash was in Tveria. Meisvei, Meishnosav Shliyov, Mishash, Nechus, Yisol, and Mitzrayim, V'yad Shiyatsu. But doesn't it say that Eov lived from the time the Jewish people came into Mitzrayim till the time they got out? And doesn't that imply that he lived during that time and not Me Oligola? So, Ema Ki, Mishash, Nechus, Yisol, and Mitzrayim, V'yad Shiyatsu. Doesn't mean that's the Tkufa in history when he lived, it means that's the amount of time that he lived, that it was as if like the equal amount of years as the amount of time the Jewish people came into Mitzrayim till they left Mitzrayim. Tosfos raises the question from Tom Mike Hamashmal Kra. Ksiv Yosef Hashem is Kol Hashal Iyov L'Mishnah V'Iyov Achrei Osam Maisachaya Kuf Mem Shanim Himkain Hayu Ben Shivim Kodem V'Yeshlam V'Desal Kedai Lo Kavol El Ba'Osher V'Yofi Shalbanos Al B'Shanim Lo. That when we say that he got doubled everything, it was only the Osher and Yofi and the Yofi Shalbanos, but he didn't get double the years in the end. Says Gemar Meisve Shivim Neviim Nesnavel Umos Ha'Olam. There were seven Neviim that the Umos Ha'Olam had. Veil, just like there were seven Neviyos, the Gemara Megillah tells us, there were seven Neviim that the Umos Ha'Olam had. Ve'eluhein, and they are Bilam, Va'aviv, his father who was Ba'or, was Bilam's father. The Gemara in the Megillah says that anytime a Navi is called Al Shmo V'Shem Aviv, B'Neviyos, as described as Navi, it means that the father was a Navi as well. I think in our Amid Yomi, we just did that yesterday, so there's like, counts as daf yomi coincidence for me. V'iyov Eliphaz Hatimni u'beldar Ashochi v'tzofar Namasi ve'aliu ben Barachel Habuzi. These are the seven non-Jewish Nevi'im. Ultamech Eliu ben Barachel Avmi Yisrael Hava. Wait, are they all non-Jews? Eliu was not a Jew. V'aksiv mi mishpachas Ram. It's miyachis him after his mishpacha. How can you say he wasn't a Jew? Ela invoyin v'lumos ha'olam. Hachinami yov invoyin v'lumos ha'olam. No, he was a Jew. He's a Jewish Navi who happened to be misnavi regarding things that related to the Masolam. Eov may have been the same. What about all the other Nevi'im? They didn't, they weren't Menavi things that related to the Umos Ha'Olam? Sure they weren't. So, Hasam Ikr Nevi'osai L'Yisrael, Hacha Ikr Nevi'osai L'Umos Ha'Olam. Now, big difference. Everyone else, the Jewish Nevi'im, primarily, the aside from these seven, primarily had nevuos about the Jewish people and may have had things that also related to the Umos Ha'Olam. These seven, some of whom are non-Jewish and some of whom are Jewish, had nevuos that primarily related to the Umos Ha'Olam. Meisvei chasrei b'Umos Ha'Olam v'yav shemo v'lo bal yalanot kdei l'kabel scharo. There was a chasr in the Umos Ha'Olam and his name was Eov, and he only came to this world to be mekabel l'schar. Hevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu lav yisurin hiskel mechari from Gadif. And as soon as Hashem started bringing yisurim, he started blaspheming the name of Hashem. So Hashem doubled the schar in Olam Hazeh to keep him away from Olam Haba. But don't you see, it calls him a chassid b'umos ha'olam? So it says, where are you right? Tanayhi. It's a machlokas tanayim, whether in fact Eov was Jewish. Detanya, Reb Lazar Omer, a fifth sheet of when Eov lived, that Eov b'yimei shvot ha'shoftim haya. Shnemer heinatem kulcham chazisim lam hazeh hevel te'avalu. That Eov says, that look at all this hevel that's around. Ezeh dor shakulo hevel. What is a dor that is entirely hevel? Havi Omer, Zedoro shel Shvot HaShoftim. It is the generation of the Shvot HaShoftim. That is a generation that is Kulo Hevel. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, a sixth Shita about when Eov lived, Eov bimei Achashverosh haya. He lived in the days of Achashverosh. Shnemer v'lanintza nashim yafos kibnos Eov b'chol ha'aretz. There weren't beautiful women as beautiful as the daughters of Eov in the entire land. Ezu darshan esbakshbo nashim yafos. What was the generation where they were looking for nashim yafos? Where there was a search for Nashim Yafos, Haviyomer is the Dor Shel Achashverosh. That was obviously in the Dor of Achashverosh. The Achronim raised the question, so why weren't they taken? Why weren't the daughters of Eov taken to the palace of Achashverosh? The Marsha suggests, based on the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Beis, that everyone was hiding their daughters. No one wanted their daughters to be taken by this Oisvar of Achashverosh. In Iyun Yaakov, and Pnei Shlomo, they suggest that the Benos Eov were, in fact, much more beautiful than Esther. But these Rabbi Shimon Karcha Lishitaso. In Megillah Yud Gimel, Rabbi Shimon Karcha holds that Esther was Yirak Rokes Haisa. It's Machlokas whether Esther was in fact beautiful or not. One shita was that she was green. She was not beautiful at all. But Chut Shel Chesed Mashach Aleha. That was part of the miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made her for some reason attractive to Achashverosh. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and Esther was not beautiful at all. But Achashverosh had this attraction to Esther. Maybe Eov lived in the days of David. They looked for a good-looking young woman for David as well when they found Avishag finally. So no, in the days of David, they were just looking b'chol gvul Yisrael. In the days of Achashverosh, they were looking b'chol aretz. Rabbi Nosson Omer, in the seventh shita when Eov lived, Eov b'mei malchus shavahaya. Shnemar v'tipol shavatikachem. V'chamomer eighth shita, Eov b'mei kastim haya. Shnemar kastim samushlosh harashim. V'yeshomim ninth and final shita, Iyov b'yemei Yaakov haya, v'dina bas Yaakov nasa. We're quoting all of these last five shitos over here for this one, that Iyov lived in the days of Yaakov, because we were discussing, is it possible that Iyov was a guy? The only way to say it's possible that Iyov was a guy is if he lived prior to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the one that says Yaakov is the only possibility. And Iyov married Dina. Ksiv hacha k'dover achsa nevelas tadabri, k'dover achsa nevelas tadabri, ksiv hasam ki nevala asa bi Yisrael. So you see, nevala, that Iyov was married to Dina. V'kulu tanai svirilu, diyov mi Yisrael hava levar mi yesh omrim. All the other shitas hold that he was a Jew, except for the yesh omrim, that he was not a Jew. The yesh omrim that says he was in the days of Yaakov. Di yisal kadai v'mu musolam hava, basu tshach v'moshe mi shay yishkin alav di chavim, because if he was from the Yom HaSolim, he could not have lived after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? When Moshe davened that the Shechina should not reside with Ovdik Chavim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted that request. So therefore, if there was going to be someone who had the Shechina Shara Alav prior, that was not a Jew, it had to have been prior to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tosus points out that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Gimel holds like this shita, that Iyov was b'yemei Yaakov, because the Gemara over there says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Yom HaSolam that Yavo Beldar Ashochi V'tzofar Namasi V'alifas HaTimni, who are the three friends of Iyov and their Nevi'im, and they'll be made about Klal Yisrael, that they were Mekayim Kol HaTaruh Kula. Well, how could they have been Nevi'im? They were also Me'umas HaOlam. It must be that Gemara is assuming that they were all alive in the days of Yaakov, meaning that they were alive prior to Matan Torah, and that's why they were able to be Nevi'im. The Ri'af raises the question, yeah, but then how could they be made that Klal Yisrael is Mekayim Kol HaTaruh Kula? That only happened once there was Kol HaTaruh Kula. So how could they be made that Klal Yisrael is Mekayim the Torah? So they suggest that they also had this tremendous Arichus Yamim until the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, and they were able to say B'nevua that they were Mekayim it. Now the Gemara quotes nine shitos at the end of the day when Iyov lived. Moshe's time of the Meraglim, Lo Hayev Lo Nivra, Mei Oligola, Shvot HaShoftim, Bimei Achashverosh, Bimei Malchushva, Bimei Kazdim, Bimei Yaakov. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah and the Yerushalmi in the 5th Perek of Sota quotes many other shitos when he lived. Bimei Avraham, we learn from Utz, like we tried to suggest in Amud Aleph. Some say Bimei Ashvatim, and they darshan Asher Chacham Yagidu V'lo Kiyichtu Me'avosam, which is Reuven and Yehuda that were modal ma'aseyam. So then some say that Iyov was nolad kishayardu Yisrael Mitzrayim, and he died when they were taken out of Mitzrayim, which we had mentioned that notion in our Gemara but didn't quote it as an actual shita of when he lived. So many, many different shitos about Iyov. Some achronim suggest that there must have been a book of Iyov. The book of Iyov must have been hidden for a long time, and therefore once we found it, we had no idea how to age it. We had no idea where to put it, where to place it in history. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Dorosh Iyov shatuf bezima haya. The door of Iyov was full of znus. Shenamer heinatam kulchem chazisem v'lamazah hevel tavalu. He used the term chazisem that you see. Yuksiv shuvi shuvi ashulamis shuvi shuvi v'nechazabach. Ema b'nevua. Maybe chazisa means binavua. How do you know it means looking at bad things? Tchsiv chazon yishayo ben amot. Imkein lamazah hevel tavalu lamali. No, because it says lamazah hevel tavalu. So that obviously sounds like what you're looking at is hevel. V'amar biyakumay tchsiv bimei shofat shvot hashoftim. What does it mean? Shvot hashoftim dor shoshofet hashoftav. A generation that judges its judges, meaning that the judges are not beyond reproach. That the judges of that generation are themselves corrupt. Omer lo, tol kisei mibeinenach. The judge will say, take away the thorn, the splinter that you have, meaning the imperfection. Omer lo, tol kora mibeinenach. You can turn right around to that judge and you say, oh yeah, your imperfection is so much larger. If mine is a splinter, yours is a beam. The judge will say that you have imperfections in what you're passing off as pure silver. Yeah, what you're passing off as wine is totally diluted with water. The judges themselves are corrupt. Anyone who says Malcha Shiva is a woman is mistaken. My Malcha Shiva, Malchusa de Shiva. It's a reference to the Malchus of Shiva, not a queen Sheba. The Pesukim start to describe the background to the story of Iyov, that the Satan was involved in a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is Iyov Perek Aleph. So what's going on? Amr lefan of Ribbono Shalom. Shatati b'kol olam kulo v'lametzasi nemen kavdecha Avram. The Satan says, Ribbono Shalom, I was just traveling around the world, and I haven't found anyone as great as Avram Avinu. He starts off with something positive. Shamarta lo kum esalich baris l'ach v'l'rachba kilcha nena, because you told Avram Avinu to travel the entire length and width of the land, and I'm going to give it all to you. V'afilu achi b'shosh shalomotzu makum l'kbar asara, achakana b'dalin meyo shekel kesef, lo hir rachar midusecha. And he couldn't even find a single little burial plot for his own wife until he paid an exorbitant sum of money, and he never questioned you. I appreciate what you're saying about Avram Avinu, but have you looked at Eov? He's pretty special too. The compliment given to Eov is greater than that given to Avram. That now I know, after Akedus Yitzchak, that you're Yirei Elokim. That he's Yirei Elokim and Sar Meira. My Vesar Meira, what does it mean, Vesar Meira? Amar Rav Abba Shmuel, Eov Vatran B'mamono Haya. He was extremely generous with his money. Min Hagu Shalol Nosin Chatzi Pruta L'chem V'ni, Eov Vitra Mishalo. That if you buy something that's worth a Chatzi Pruta, so then you don't get change, you at least split it with an Ani. But Eov would give the entire Pruta Mishalo. He was extraordinarily generous. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent back to the Satan, that look how great Eov is. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with what the Satan's response was, and much of the Eov Agadita that we're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, but we'll learn Be'ez Hashem tomorrow.